Well, Romans 16:25 again. Paul concluding his message to the Roman church, and he says to them, now to him that is of power to establish or establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the ministry. So when he speaks of his gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ and the mystery, they're all one and the same. And he says it's been kept secret since the world began, but now it's made revealed and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So what we hear is the revelation, and we're to obey what we hear. But we're looking at the characteristics of a stable faith, and when he mentions there the word, the power to establish you, the word establish is the Greek word sterizo, which you know by now, I'm sure, which is translated many different ways in the Bible. It's not always this there is establish or establish. Sometimes it's translated other ways. But nonetheless, it always means the same thing when you look at it from the side of the Greek. So it's talking about being strengthened in faith and made stable. It's talking about somebody that is firm and steadfast in their beliefs, that they're not easily tossed or thrown about. And that is a good characteristic to have, because so many people are so easily overthrown. And again, in James chapter 5, he tells them in the light of their trials and difficulties, he says to them, he says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Same word, establish your hearts. In the light of the coming of the Lord, I think that is a good exhortation for everybody to take to heart, to have a heart and a relationship with God that is stable, so that we're not swayed to compromise, to give in, to quit, to go up and down and not be stable. It's used again in Revelation chapter 3 to the church. He speaks to them, watch and strengthen the things that remain. The word strengthen is again the same Greek word. And so he's warning them there that you need to get established in those things that you've allowed the enemy to come in to use to overthrow you. This is used also of Peter when he was warned by Jesus that the devil wanted to sift him like wheat. But I pray for you that when you when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Well, Peter did that. He said that in Peter. I want to, though you be established in the present truth, I will not be negligent to remind you of it. So it all goes together, and realize that God is saying to his people that the reason you hear the gospel, the reason you hear the word, is so you can be stable. People who don't are not stable have not heard something. Something hasn't been opened in their mind and their heart from what the revelation of the scripture has to say. So in light of the last days, I think it's important that we are sure about our hearts and our minds and our relationship, that we are established, that we're stable, that we're sure, that we are not wishy-washy and giving in easily to the temptations and the trials and different things that we might face in life. And so we've looked at different things as a characteristics of the of a stable faith, and now we're looking at endurance. Endurance is a very important aspect of it. But in that, it begins to add a little deeper, because endurance to me is what makes faith work. If a person doesn't have this particular characteristic or understand it, they're not going to do very well in life's difficulties. They'll give in, toss the towel in, they'll cry, they'll whine, they'll murmur, they'll complain, but they will not be able to hold fast and endure and persevere in the faith, because they will give in. And so there are certain things, there are many things that we have to endure. And I think that by that token, it helps us. But, you know, in looking at that, we have to understand that endurance is an important thing in our life. We have to see that the Bible often commands us to endure. You see that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, that's very significant, I think. It says it again in Luke 21, and your patience or your endurance possess you your souls. So it's by perseverance that you have assurance that you are a Christian, that you are saved, that you will make it to the end. And God is going to be there with you. If he authored it, he'll finish it. But you've got to do your part too. You cannot just give in all the time and turn around and say, well, everything's okay. Because when you compromise your faith or you deny the faith, and you turn away from the Lord, then that's not good in a person's life. It shows an unstable faith. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I don't think anybody here that's heard the truth wants to be unstable. So we have to see the Bible does warn us often about that. But why is it so important? Because if you endure to the end, you're saved. And not only that, it comes into play with the promises of God, doesn't it? In Hebrews chapter 10, because you don't cast away your confidence. It has great recompense and reward because you have need of patience that after you endure that you might receive the promise. Again, the word is there, endure, is important. Because how are you going to receive something? We have the right, as we'll see this morning, to claim certain things that God gives to us. But just because we claim them doesn't mean they're ours. We have to hold fast until the end. The one thing that we all have in common here is that we're believing for the salvation of our souls. And that is something that you have to hold on to and can't give up. But understanding endurance, when you look at the word in the Greek, hupomone, it's a compound word, and the word hupo means underneath or below. Mone is a word that means to stay or abide and continue. So when you put the word together, it means underneath the trials and the difficulties and hardships of life, stick with it. Abide, continue, don't give in. And we all find ourselves under something, whether it be persecution, whether it be intimidation, threats, whether it be a trial or a chastisement. And all of those things come into play in the Bible and our relationship with God. And every time you see these things, it's about enduring. That's how important endurance is, because if we don't endure through those things, we really have no assurance that we are God's people. Because if we give in and we fall away and from everything and we don't fight our temptations, we don't overcome in a consistent way, staying true to God under those difficult times, then what happens is we begin to give in. As you see in many times in the Christian faith, that some people gave in, recanted their faith, where they deny Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, he that denieth me, him will I deny. And so that's a serious thing. And so we looked last week at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3, where the things that we have to endure. So we're talking about that because I think it's good to know this, because some people today don't have this attitude of endurance. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's telling us that there's something that we have to endure. And I know that it gets a little old for people sometimes to hear sound doctrine, but it can't get old. It's still the truth, and the truth sets you free. And it says here in 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall what? Turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now that is something that we see today, where people don't endure sound doctrine. Too many people are just tired of hearing a simple message of John 3:16 or about repentance, or hell is a doctrine. Judgment, the judgment seat of God is a doctrine where we will all be judged. We will stand before him and give account of our life. That's a doctrine. I mean, the resurrection is a doctrine. And you could go down, the inspiration of Scripture is a doctrine. The doctrines of God, the doctrines of Christ, the doctrines of the Holy Spirit is what we call them. I mean, in theology, all of those things are there in the Bible, and they've been put together as a teachings that belong to us who embrace the faith. It's what we have. It's, if you would, it's our creed. It's what we believe. But it's not just a creed like the church seems to call it, but it's something that we believe not because the church believes it. We believe it because it's in the Bible. Because a lot of churches don't believe what the Bible says. They make up their own creeds. They make up their own doctrines. That's why we have so many cults today. So therefore, we're responsible to continue to preach sound doctrine, because people become a little, you know, sensational and desiring to hear something else, and they want somebody to scratch their ears. That's just a metaphor talking about how people just want an easier way. Like Isaiah 30, get away, take this God away from us, speak to us smooth things, make us feel good about ourselves. Don't tell us that we we might miss the kingdom. Don't tell us we have to take up a cross. Don't tell us that we might go to hell if we don't live right. Don't tell us those things. I mean, pat us on the back and make us feel good. That's about what you see today all over the country, all over the world. And so we come back to this thing of, you know, we must endure sound teaching, because all doctrine's just teaching. People say, well, doctrine's divisive. Well, that statement is divisive, because doctrine is just teaching. So if I'm going to teach you what the Bible says and tell you that you must believe in God and that you must give your heart to Him and believe that Jesus Christ came for your sins, died for them, shed His blood, rose from the dead, and that's in the Bible, you have to believe that. You can't change that because you don't like it. Or you can change it, but it doesn't make any difference. It's still true whether you like it or not, or whether you believe it or not. And you will be judged by that very fact. So we have to endure that. And so if you've heard it 1,000 times, you can hear 1,001, because this is what the Bible gives us. This is what God tells us. And people start wanting. Today we have this attitude all over the country that the people are just looking for something that will. They use all of these arguments and logic that, well, we need something to appeal to the youth. We need something to appeal to this group, or appeal to that group. And all that is just merchandising the gospel. Because then we try to come up with something that, like the new music of the day, where we want to tickle their ears with new music. And so we want to always be giving them something that really, rather than telling them that discipleship is important, that you are a disciple of Christ, and what's wrong with making disciples? That's what Jesus told them to do in his commission in Matthew 28. Go make disciples, teaching them all things that I've commanded you. And that's what you see in the book of Acts, what they're doing. They sat down at the apostles' feet and heard their doctrine. And you say, well, we've been indoctrinated. Well, the Bible is what indoctrinates you. It means it's what teaches you. You have learned a certain thing that God requires of you, and you must endure that. Like I said before, I've had people say things to me like, you know, you preach too much on sin, you preach too much on the cross, you preach too much on this. And that's aggravating when people have that attitude. Because what do you want? What are you looking for? You know what you have? You have these ears, you are itching for something else. You want somebody to tickle you and make you feel good about yourself because you want to out of something. You don't want to take up that cross. You don't want to endure what is sound and what is holy and what is just and right in the eyes of God. And some of the people that ask you that stuff are in a troubled marriage, so I know where that's going, exactly where it's going. It's heading down, you know, south. When we say south, we're talking about it's going down. It's just not that south is bad, but it's just what we say. But anyways, let's move on to the second thing that we must endure. And this is very practical and relevant to us, because we have to endure the obtaining of the promises. In other words, when you claim a promise, you must hold on to it. I don't know how many of us have got that settled in our heart and maybe settled it beforehand that and count up the cost, that if I claim this, then I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to give in. Now, I know that everybody has their particular situations that come up, but this is what the Bible says. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33 about them, as you read Hebrews chapter 11, about them obtaining the promises of God, because it's all about faith in Hebrews 11. It says in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. So the channel by which they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness was faith. Obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and on and on. It says here that it was through faith that they obtained the promises. And that's what we do. We obtain the promises through faith. Now, most people don't really have a real good grasp on that. And that's what we need to understand. So how do we obtain the promises of God? Well, we obtain something from God by faith. How did you get saved? So, well, I had this feeling. You did? What do you do when that feeling's gone? What do you then rest your faith on after that? I had a vision. What do you do after the vision's gone? What do you rest your faith on? You see, all of those things can be good and fine, because feelings will come. People have visions. Or somebody prophesied over me, I was saved. You can say all of those things, but yet that can't be something that you can rest on that is stable. There's only one thing that is stable and sure and unchanging and eternal, It's the Word of God. That's it. That's simple. So when you got saved, I hope, because you heard the gospel preached. Because you heard that you were a sinner, that you were going to hell, that you were alienated from God, and you needed to repent of your sins and to give your life totally, without reservations, to Jesus Christ. Now, that happens to everybody in various different ways. Everybody has a little difference in experience as far as their initial experience in coming to the Lord. But nonetheless, everybody has that in their heart, that they know that there was a day and a time when God dealt with them, and they, whether they went to the altar, whether they were home, whether they pulled over on the side of the road, or whether they woke up in the middle of the night, I don't know. But God dealt with them, and they repented of their sins and asked Jesus to come into their life. That was the moment they were saved. Now, you probably went through, some people shed tears, and some people go through a deep repentance. Various things happen. But the bottom line of this whole thing is you were saved because you put your faith in, you heard a word. You heard the Word of God preached, not just quote it, but present it to you in a way that the gospel, that the Holy Spirit took that word, which is alive and powerful, and touched your heart with it, brought you to this state, stirred your emotions, your will, and every your intellect, every part of your being, stirred it in such a way that you came to the Lord and you gave your life to Him. Maybe you were young, maybe you were older. I was older. Some people get saved at a young age. That's good and fine. And so that's the beginning. But you see, are you saved? Okay. How do you know you're saved? Prove it to me that you're saved. Now, we can go into a whole subject there because you've got to make your calling election sure. You've got to live the life. But the only proof that you have that you're saved is because you're still here. You're still holding fast. You're still holding on. Because if you're saved, you're saved from sin, no doubt. But you're saved to have a relationship with God, and you're saved that one day that you will have eternal life. That when your life is over here, that you will die and you will go to be with the Lord, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Or the rapture will come, whichever comes first for our lives. We believe that. We embrace that. And the reason we embrace it, because that's what the Bible says. It's not because of something we feel or a vision we had or because somebody prophesied something. It's because we have the scriptures, which is the Word of God, that presents to us this message over and over again. I mean, 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the resurrection. And he says, this is where your faith is in this. Now, if your faith is not in that, then your faith is vain. It's of no use. Because some people who don't believe in the resurrection have nothing to hold on to. They don't believe in life after death. Yet the Bible presents it from Old Testament to New Testament. Some people believe that when you die, you're annihilated, that you just don't exist no more. Well, the Bible refutes that because there is life on the other side. You see that with the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, don't we? So we embrace that because there's something that we see here in the scriptures that gives us, we can be confident and sure that this is the Word of God. And that we can embrace it and hold on to it. That's our faith. But see, the whole thing is now, through this life, from the day you got saved, whether you were 6 or 60, you got to endure to the end. Now, whenever